This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
Welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Victims of Success Division here at Car Talk Plaza. Mm. Actually, we are victims not of our own success. Of course not. We're victims of NPR's success.
That's right. Without thinking about the potential ramifications, NPR has gone willy-nilly improving its other programs and in the process attracting bigger and bigger audiences, right?
Yeah.
Did they think, however, about the effect it might have on lousy shows like ours?
Yeah.
No. And now, due to their insensitive improvements, more people are inadvertently listening to lousy shows like ours. And that, I have to say, is not necessarily a good thing.
Well, as we learned a few weeks ago when Bob Lutz, the president of Chrysler, called us after listening to our show.
Right. The problem is, we used to be able to say whatever the hell we wanted to say because as a lousy show, we could count on only like three or four people listening. We lived in blissful anonymity.
Indeed.
The worst hate mail we ever got was from a 12-year-old kid named Melissa who said, P.S., my dog hates your show too. That did hurt, I have to admit. But it wasn't the end of the world. But now that NPR has gone out and dramatically improved its news programs, willy-nilly, I might add, mm-hmm. we've suddenly found ourselves in the glaring eye of an irate public. Do you see the return address, the letterhead of this letter?
Oh, no, man. The United States Senate.
The United States Senate.
Judd Gregg, U.S. Senator from New Hampshire. What did you say now?
Well, you know, I don't honestly remember what I said.
Well, read his letter. I'm sure he'll remind us.
Dear Tom and Ray, you can imagine my consternation when listening to you last Saturday in hopes of gaining some insight on the upcoming debate on Estonian nuclear policy.
By the way, yeah. By the way, before anyone else that wishes to address hate mail to us should address it directly to Thomas. I think it's fair to say.
Look, you don't even know yet what was said. You don't even know whether I said it or you said it.
Well, I think I can safely assume
that if it had to do with New Hampshire,
if it had to do with saying something bad about someone or something,
it was me.
You authored it.
Yeah, sure. Get yourself out of it now. It's too late. Anyway,
go ahead. Read on.
Gaining some insight and then. On the upcoming debate on Estonian nuclear policy, when I and other listeners were subjected to a gratuitous verbal battering of my fair state and her people. That would have been me, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
New Hampshire. I don't remember what I said, but I did. I have on occasion said some nasty things about New Hampshire. They're wackos up there. In recognizing that this assault by individuals who live in a state which has a dead fish as its symbol, Massachusetts, is that right? And whose population regularly migrates to New Hampshire to purchase all nature of tax-free goods. Yeah.
Yes.
To ski and to go to the lakes and breathe fresh air, one should not take seriously these barbs, which obviously derive from simple jealousy.
Indeed.
Yeah, rave on, Judd. However, buried within your tortured discourse, you did pose one excellent question. Ooh. You did pose one excellent question. Why are Maine, Vermont, and New Hampshire so different when, quote, just a line on a piece of paper separates them? I did ask that question, and it does puzzle me.
It does.
Let me explain, and I'll keep it simple so your brother can understand it. Vermont, if you will refer back to your map, is obviously upside down. That's true. It goes
right
there.
I'm aware.
Need I say more? Maine is a more complicated case dealing with the ratio of moose to people and the interaction thereof over several generations. I refer you to any number of Stephen King novels, a Maine resident, for primary source material. Oh, he's a Maine resident. New Hampshire, however, as most people from the former socialist commune to our south know, is that us?
I think that would be us, yeah.
Is the lowest taxed state in the country. No income or sales tax. Hmm. With the best health care, highest SAT scores, what? And most livable environment in the nation. All ratings achieved from independent NPR recognized sources. Highest SAT scores? He might be right. In addition, we have more cars per capita than any other state in the country, which means any mechanic with half a mind, that's redundant, would be living and working in New Hampshire rather than Massachusetts. But you already know that.
Well, you didn't say that the cars are drivable. They may be parked in people's front yards.
Right. All this having been said, I regret to inform you that I have referred this matter to my New Hampshire attorneys, How Do We Cheat Them? Oh, whose slower and more expensive cousins practice in your building and in your state. You should hear from them in due course. Pending that, could you please tell me why the check engine light on my Ford Taurus does not go off? And yes, I checked the engine. Sincerely, Judd Gregg, U.S. Senator, New Hampshire. Thanks, Judd. I like the fact that Vermont is upside down. See, we got too many people listening now. We're going to have to make the show lousier. I mean, we got to get rid of guys
and
like him.
Who better qualified than you to lead the charge, man? Onward.
If you want to call us, the phone number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Victoria, and I'm from Hudson, New York.
Hi, Victoria.
Hudson, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson, New York.
Hudson, New York. Hudson.
Yep.
Where's that near?
It's like, right over the Berkshire Mountains from Massachusetts.
Wouldn't be like near the Hudson River or anything like that.
No, never.
I didn't think so. No,
it's
on
right
the
on
Croton
the River.
River.
We have a port on the Hudson River, yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Right.
So, Victoria, what's up?
Well, I am in need of a new car. Well, I am in need of to replace my used car.
Yeah.
And I have a former husband, mm-hmm. and he owes me a great deal of child support, and he has a car.
Yeah.
And his offer. I don't want to say his proposition. That doesn't sound
doesn't
right to
sound
me,
right.
His offer. His offer.
Yeah.
His offer.
He's,
yes.
He's suggesting that he give you this car that he has mm-hmm. in lieu of mm-hmm. child support.
Right. Right.
Okay. So you're going to have to divulge to us the amount of the child support so we can judge whether.
Well, I don't know if that's. It's less than the price of a new Lexus. And it's more than a complete change of tires would be. It's somewhere in that range.
Okay.
But the car in question is an 86 Stanza. And it does have like 100,000 miles on it.
Yeah. Well, unless he owes you less than $100, this is not a good deal.
Oh, okay.
No, well, I can tell you that right now.
The book value of this car is the probably...
book value doesn't matter.
It's probably...
This is a 10-year-old Stanza with 100,000 miles on it. I mean, if you got no hope of getting any money out of this deadbeat,
then you
take the car. But this is a rotten deal
because it's worth about $1,800. I would guess that the book value is in that ballpark,
mm-hmm.
$1,800 or less.
Okay. Yeah, so should I go for a new Lexus then?
Yeah, I would. is that the option? Is that the choice you have? The 86 Stanza or a new Lexus? Yeah,
I
go. For...
I mean, don't. Wait a minute. Don't they have laws in New York State? Don't they put his picture on a milk carton or something? Don't they do that?
Yeah, but
yeah, they probably could. But you know, my feeling is like, you know, people spend so much time in conflict. You know, like I'm going to sue you. I'm going to do this to you. And
sure.
And my feeling was, you know,
you're right.
If this is one way of working something out, you know, in a fairly amicable.
God
what did
bless
you.
Would
you go to
a
conflict resolution seminar?
As a matter of fact, I did. And my employer made me sign in.
Sure. And you found out that there are integrative solutions to things where everyone can benefit. He'll get you off his case.
Right. The Lexus dealer only offered him $500 for this on a trade-in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to get the new Lexus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're going to get stuck with this heap.
And think how much conflict there's going to be when he dumps this thing on you. And the next time he comes to pick up the kid for the weekend, mm-hmm. he's driving the Lexus. Nice blue LS400, and you're going to say,
right.
Oh, ho, ho, conflict resolution this.
Right, and this thing is broken. This thing is in the shop because the timing belt broke.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean.
Oh, so I shouldn't go with this.
With all due respect, and I agree with you that people are in conflict all the time, and it would be really nice to just resolve something amicably
mm-hmm.
and without any kind of legal intervention. You're mm-hmm. absolutely right about that. Yeah, so I would say this is...
So I shouldn't go for a Stanza, huh?
No, this is not a great deal, Victoria, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any suggestions what I should go for? I mean, aside from, you know,
Well, because you won't divulge to us what the actual dollar amount
is. Well, that's unnecessary now because you need to replace the car you have.
Right, I really do.
Which is worse than an 86 Stanza with 100,000 miles on it? What's the one you got now?
Horizon with 130,000.
Yeah, okay.
All right, you got it.
No need to go any further. We're convinced.
Okay. All right. Well, so then
so you got to get rid of the Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
How much? What kind of driving do you do?
I commute about 20 miles a day back and forth, so maybe 40 miles total.
Okay, 40 miles per day.
And then, occasionally a long trip, but we have another car for that. So.
Oh, good.
I'm just trying to figure out how long the Stanza will last you.
I live in a rural area.
2 months and 11 days.
Yeah, I mean, so you don't need a very, very reliable car.
Not incredibly. I just need something that will start in cold weather.
Start in cold weather, get you back and forth, not fall apart.
Right.
Well, here's what you do.
What year is the Horizon?
86.
With how many miles on it?
130-something.
Yeah.
Here's what you should do.
Okay.
Wow.
You might be tempted to take this Stanza if you really think it's the only thing you're ever going to get from him.
Mm-hmm.
But before you do take it, you should really have it checked out by your mechanic to make sure that it's in fact in reasonable shape.
Mm-hmm.
And you would like him to give you all his repair records if he has any.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would definitely ask him if, again, assuming that you concluded that you would get nothing else from him and you better take this while the taking is good,
mm-hmm.
I would try to get him to fix all the items that your mechanic finds need fixing.
Ah.
And that might be a deal.
Okay. All right.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thanks, hey, Victoria.
And okay, it was bye-bye. Nice of you to try to resolve this conflict. How was the seminar? Good?
Yeah, it was fine.
It was fine.
My employer may be listening to this broadcast.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, okay.
Oh, right, so you couldn't say it was crummy.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll talk to you after the show.
Very dedicated people. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Victoria.
See ya.
Sure, bye.
Bye-bye.
No, it's important. I think conflict resolution is important. What? Don't you, you jerk!
Hey, we've got more calls on the Puzzler Answer coming up right after this.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Bluehost. Try Bluehost Cloud, the hosting plan made for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, fast load times, and 24/7 support, your sites can handle high traffic spikes. Visit Bluehost.com.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Lisa. Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit Lisa.com to learn more. That's LEESA.com.
This message comes from Jackson. Seek clarity in retirement planning at Jackson.com. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial, Inc., Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York. Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, an international spy thriller starring Elizabeth Moss. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. Premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Anyway, it's time to plunge onward here.
Oh.
Do you remember your New Year's resolution?
Yes, I do remember my New Year's resolution.
What is your New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution was to not be a moron as much, especially regarding the Puzzler.
And Chrysler Corporation. And the addendum.
And I was going to
Pay attention and listen to your brother, not interrupt him when he spoke.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
do you remember the last week's Puzzler?
So when you said to me, do you remember last week's Puzzler? I was going to, for the first time, say, do I remember last week's Puzzler? Of course I do.
Well, I'll be impressed. Go ahead.
No, I said that's what I was going to say.
Oh.
But I don't remember.
Okay, I didn't think so. Here it is.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago at the shop, I assigned one of the guys to tune up some vehicle. This might help to jog your memory. Pay attention.
Not yet.
Okay. I said, go throw a tune-up on that thing. Remember?
Go throw a tune-up. Oh, I remember.
So he saunters over. Go ahead.
I got it. Yeah, the two vacuum hoses coming
out of
the
distributor.
You got it, man. Yeah.
Very good. He only got the two sentences in and you got it.
That's good.
He saunters over to this particular vehicle, but after a few minutes he comes back and says, hey, there's something strange. It looks like there are a couple of vacuum hoses going to the distributor, but they're unplugged and I don't know which one goes where. Well, I said, one must be the vacuum advance, one must be the retard, and there must be some kind of a diagram. And he says, no, this doesn't have a vacuum advance and or retard. He says, as a matter of fact, these hoses go to the distributor cap. To which I say, you must have been hanging out with my brother too much. Because there are no vacuum hoses that go to the cap. So I walk over, and sure enough, there are two spots on the distributor cap where hoses would attach. And
no,
there are
kidding.
Two dangling hoses. And I figured out that one of them goes to the manifold, and the other one actually connects to the air filter. So I show him where they go. Was actually rather obvious that one wouldn't reach the other spot. So.
That's good. That's usually a dead giveaway.
And he says, huh. Then when he realized what kind of a vehicle he was tuning up, he says, ah, I guess it makes sense now.
Yeah.
And the question was very simply, what kind of a vehicle was he tuning up? And we didn't mean what make and model, although you get extra points for that. You may even own one of these.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mentioned there are thousands of these on the road. And it's not. I should have added that it's not a car.
Yeah,
right.
That would have been a real hint. You wouldn't want to do that.
No, I wouldn't want to do that.
No.
But I did say it's a vehicle that carries passengers around.
Yeah.
Right, but it is not a car. So it must be what then?
A
truck.
Ah, okay.
Or a sport utility vehicle. And in fact, the vehicle in question was a Toyota Land Cruiser. And it has a vacuum hose going through the distributor cap and another hose taking fresh air from the vicinity of the air cleaner, filtered air, which goes into the cap and then is removed through this vacuum hose, which goes to the manifold. And why would this thing have it and not your Toyota Corolla, for example?
Because this is a sport utility vehicle.
And the reason for the vacuum hose is, in fact, to remove moisture from the vicinity of the distributor cap underneath the cap so you don't get a short circuit under there and arcing.
Sure.
And the reason you need this thing, this setup in this vehicle, is because of the kind of duty it's asked to perform sometimes, driving through rivers and streams and
deserts, man. Dust, dirt, sand.
Deserts? No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Sure, I do.
Stick to the recalls, will you? Do we have a winner? Well, of course we have a winner. And I think I resolved not to ask that question anymore.
You're supposed to say, just like you're not supposed to say.
Who's our winner this week?
That's it. Where are you from? Yes, our winner. Yes, we do have a winner, and the winner this week is John Pierce from Decatur, Illinois, and for knowing the right answer and being selected from among all the right answerers that we had, John will get a copy of our brand new cassette/CD. Which do we send? Both? Either? The Best of Car Talk, which, by the way, one reviewer said was, quote, pure excellence.
Yes.
Is that how you spell excellence?
No. By the way, if you didn't win the Puzzler and you didn't get a copy of the Best of Car Talk for Christmas, you can always call our Shameless Commerce Division. The number there is 3 before the government shuts us down, 303-595-5905. And we'll give that number again at the end of the show in case you missed it. More importantly, we have another, I think, interesting new Puzzler.
Oh, interesting.
Non-automotive.
That's good.
Coming up during the second half of today's show. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can call us with your car questions at 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Christine. I'm from Magalia, California.
Hi, Christine.
Magalia?
Yeah, it's about 30 miles north or east of Chico.
Magalia.
Yeah, like regalia.
Magalia, right.
Yeah.
It's up in the pine trees. Very nice up here. It's just above paradise.
Above.
Well, there's a little town right below us called Paradise.
Excellent.
Boy, that's a...
So what's up, Christina?
Kind of a claim.
Well, actually, this is kind of a generic question. It's kind of a difference of opinion I've been having with he's my ex-husband, but he's also my friend, very good friend, who also happens to be a mechanic. And it has to do with the emergency brake. I always was taught, when I learned how to drive, to use your emergency brake whenever you park, whether you're on a hill or a flat surface or whatever. So it's kind of like second nature. You just turn off the car and you put on the handbrake and you get out. Well, he tells me that I shouldn't use the emergency brake unless I'm on a hill because what happens is your car, I guess the brakes get warm. He gave me a long story about how it works. They get warm, and then when you park and they cool down, the when the brake is on, it distorts the rear drum, and after a while, it will result in pulsating brakes. And I've been doing this all these years, and I've never had a car that I noticed had pulsating brakes. Mm. And he always tells me, "Well, you wouldn't know a pulsating brake if you saw one anyway."
No, I have found, I have found that this is sort of a male-female thing.
It is. It's
it
true.
Is. I mean, most males that I know do not use the parking brake. Most females, on the other hand, do use the parking brake, and all the males who don't use it all have some arcane explanation for why you shouldn't. For example, here in the great frozen north where we live, the reason for not getting used to the idea of using the parking brake is if you get in the habit, then you will use the parking brake all the time, including those horrible northeast storms that we have, in which case the parking brake cable will freeze underneath the car and you'll never be able to move it until spring.
We frequently get storms here that start out as rain and then the temperature plummets and things freeze.
And the truth is that if you use the parking brake in a situation like that, it can freeze. Therefore, we extrapolate, all men in the Northeast extrapolate, and we never use the parking brake because we don't want to get into bad habits.
But your husband's or ex-husband's theory here is a new one on me.
It is a new one, but see...
But I like it.
Is he from California?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, depending on where you grew up, you had to develop a theory that would fit the local customs, temperatures, and whatever.
So they have to
find... Well, you must be right about whether it's a gender issue, because I talked to some of my friends, and I know, like, three or four other women that have been told by their male friends or husbands
or ex-husbands
that they shouldn't use emergency brake unless they're on a hill.
I don't think you're going to warp anything, no matter how hard you apply the handbrake. And I don't think applying the handbrake when the brakes are red hot is going to, or the parking brake, as we'll call it, is going to warp the drums. I think that's baloney. And if you want to use it every day...
But it does have, like all baloney, just like all your theories, there is some little...
A glimmer.
Glimmer of truth.
Yes.
Because, in fact, if you had been using the brakes a lot, and this is not usually what happens, but had you been using the brakes a lot, the drums would, in fact, be expanded, because, as we know, when things heat up, they expand, and then you pull on the parking brake, cools off, it tries to shrink down, but it can't because the shoes are there.
Right, well, part of it can shrink down because the shoes aren't touching everywhere.
Sure, and
is it possible? I suppose it's possible, so we'll have to give him 1.25 stars.
You mean after all these years, and he's a mechanic, you mean I'm right?
Yeah, you are.
I mean, there may be the small disadvantage to using it, but the advantages so far outweigh this little disadvantage that you should use it. Because if for anything else, any other reason that the thing popped out of gear or something else happened, the emergency brake or the parking brake would hold the vehicle.
As usual, my brother is 100% right. I'll just ask him one question. Do you use your parking brake?
No, I do not.
And why, pray tell, don't you?
Too much to think about. And they freeze up in the winter.
Hey, Christine, thanks for calling.
And thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Hey, you're going to get some messages, then you're going to get the new puzzle, so hang around.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from our sponsor, Whole Foods Market. Host a celebratory brunch for less with 365 by Whole Foods Market, featuring wallet-happy finds like cold smoked Atlantic salmon and more.
This message comes from NPR sponsor CarMax. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because CarMax believes you shouldn't just settle for a car, you should love your car. That's why every car they sell has CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. Don't settle, find love at first drive. Start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Washington Wise. Decisions made in Washington can affect your portfolio every day. Washington Wise is an original podcast for investors from Charles Schwab that unpacks the stories making news in Washington. Listen at schwab.com/Washington Wise. This message comes from NPR sponsor Noom. Noom understands that not everyone is starting from the same place and takes that into account. With their first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, you can find 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and more good advice.
There's no end to how clever people are. This is signed simply Rachel. She doesn't tell us where she's from, who she is. Let me look. She's from Connecticut.
She has a very nice hand.
She has a nice hand, yeah.
Yes.
Dear Tom and Ray, frequently, all right, sometimes, okay, make that almost never. I listen to your program while doing other more important things. Lately, I have been bemused and perplexed, this is good, by the number of callers stating their need for, quote, reliable transportation. Do these folks really believe that anyone requires unreliable transportation? Does anyone need unreliable transportation? Would they have the chutzpah to announce it on a nationally broadcast program? There are serious legal implications of publicly declaring a need for unreliable transportation.
Really?
Consider the following example. A caller asks you to recommend a notoriously unreliable car. Can you recommend for me a really notoriously unreliable car, they say? Even without a moment of delay, you rattle off the makes, models, and years of your favorite unreliable cars.
Alfa Romeo, for one.
Time passes. This is good. One morning, this caller wakes up and decides he doesn't want to go to work and flip burgers today. He calls his place of work and informs the manager that his car will not start.
Right.
His unreliable car will not start. Although this plan appears to be infallible, there's one flaw hidden deep beneath the surface. The manager is a closet avid Car Talk listener. Hence, she had first-hand knowledge of the burger flipper's request for unreliable transportation.
Oh.
Not to mention that after the 18th time in a month that his car didn't start, she put two and two together. As one who would rather not flip burgers on some particular days, as well as one who trusts that the law can be molded like Play-Doh, I implore you to consult your attorneys at Dewey, Cheatham & Howe to find a solution to this problem. Surely the right to unreliable transportation is up there with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. On behalf of the burger flippers of the nation, I beseech you, help us. See, now the truth is that no one has ever called and asked us for unreliable transportation.
Yes. You have unreliable transportation.
I have unreliable transportation, and for the very reason. I can't go to work today. I can't do it.
All right. Enough fooling around. It's time to get real serious here.
Oh, this is the time for the rollicking new...
Interesting.
Interesting. Somewhat. Okay.
Well, it was interesting. I thought it was kind of a cute puzzle. Just completely non-automotive.
Cool.
But it could be an automotive puzzler. Would you like it to be automotive?
Yeah. Spam work for an automotive company. Yeah.
A farmer had three daughters.
This is a family show.
Oh, I can't do this?
Can you tell this one on the air?
Of course.
Farmer had three daughters and a salesman.
So you have a warped mind.
A salesman came to the farmhouse and knocked on the door.
No.
He says, my car broke down.
No.
And the farmer says, you can sleep in the barn with the pigs.
Right.
And he says, fine.
Go ahead.
Is that it?
You're close.
All right. A farmer had three daughters. Go ahead.
To each of them, he gave the following number of eggs.
Oh!
Daughter number one, write these down.
I got it. Number one.
15 eggs.
Yeah.
Daughter number two.
B. Daughter number B.
50 eggs. 5-0.
50 eggs. 5-0.
Number three.
Roman numeral three.
85 eggs.
Got it. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the deal. They each had to go their separate ways and sell these eggs.
Sell the eggs.
The only stipulation is this. Each had to sell the eggs for the same price.
Yeah.
And had to return with all the eggs sold with the same amount of money. And they were not allowed to have any contact, i.e. exchange eggs or money, whatever. So each daughter was charged with taking her number of eggs, i.e. 15 for daughter 1, 50 for daughter B, and 85 for daughter D.
Roman numeral 3,
85 eggs. So 15, 15, 85.
Sell
each
the eggs,
was to go her separate way.
So they have to charge the same price, and they have to end up with the same amount of money.
Bingo.
That sounds almost impossible. But of course...
Well, I was unable to find an algebraic solution to this problem.
You could, really?
Well, I was unable, not to say that someone couldn't. I mean, I was able to find an intuitive... I was able to figure it out, I might add, but...
Yeah.
I was not able to use algebra.
I can see why.
Because I don't know algebra.
That would do it. Yeah. That's very good.
I think so. That, by the way, that was stolen from Bob Farley from Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Now, if you think you know the answer, right?
By the way, we should mention, since I know the answer to this, we should mention that it is not some tricky answer like the Roman numeral 3 daughter made $700 for the eggs and spent $600 of it on
advertising.
On advertising.
No, no, no. This is completely legit.
This is a legit numerical answer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
legit.
It is.
It's legit.
I didn't think it was necessary to give that hint because I like to hear those wacko answers.
Yeah,
so if you think
true.
You know the answer, write that answer on a postcard or the back of a $20 bill and mail it to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Post Office Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. And if we choose your answer at random from among all of the correct answers and you catch us, we'll send you a copy of The Best of Car Talk on cassette or CD. Just in time for the holidays. You know, those big ones like Groundhog Day, Valentine's Day.
They're coming up.
Oh, yeah. Now, if you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Bill from Minneapolis.
Hi, Bill.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
How cold is it in Minneapolis?
Not too cold today. Probably in the 20s.
Oh, I didn't make my proclamation that winter is over.
Winter is pretty much over.
Winter's pretty much over. Winter kind of shot its wad, so to speak.
You're nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only been winter for about 3 weeks. 2 weeks. Who knows how long? We haven't even started. We're in for the most... I'm depressed. I mean, is the suicide rate in Minneapolis higher than in the rest of the country?
Well, I actually don't know. But
because it's really a cold place.
We do have a very long winter.
Well, the
here.
Guy that keeps the statistics
died.
Killed himself 2 weeks ago. So anyway, what's up, Bill?
Well, I have a 1989 Acura, but Integra.
Uh-huh.
About 58,000 miles. It has a noise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an intermittent noise. It sounds to me like it's in the rear on the left, but it sounds to passengers like it's in the rear on the right. At least we agree.
Good.
Probably in the rear. And it tends to occur when I'm more or less rolling at slow speeds. Maybe a little bit more when I'm turning to the left, but I don't hear it when I get up to a reasonable and prudent speed.
So you're just taking off from a stop.
Just taking off from a stop, or just I have a driveway with a hill. If I'm just decelerating into the garage, I'll hear it, but it seems completely independent of whether or not I'm braking.
Could I describe the noise as a grunk?
It's more of a... Only a little more mournful than that.
Do it again. Excellent.
Yep.
It's very good.
You got it.
And that's the frequency of it? Or is it just one whoop?
Just the whoops seem to be getting a bit longer as time goes.
And how many of them would you hear?
Often just one.
Often just one.
Often just one little whoop. Yeah.
One little whoop.
And I can't seem to reliably cause it to occur, which is one of these noises it makes hard to take in.
Yeah, of course.
And it seems, when it's really cold, as it was here a few weeks ago, it seemed better. Though, again, it's when you're dealing with an intermittent noise, you can't control enough of the variables to really to really tell that.
Yeah.
The only known problem the car has, to add a little thematic consistency here with the previous call, is that my parking brake is kerfluey, and when I took that in, I was told the calipers were frozen up and it would cost $500 to fix them, so
yes.
I have joined the club who do not use their parking brake. Which is, I live about 6 miles
And yet another reason why H&R Block doesn't use his parking brake.
I live about 6 miles from the nearest hill, so it's not a real problem. But so that but seems unrelated to braking, so I have...
Oh, no, not really. In fact, it very well could be the parking brake. I mean, the way the parking brake works on this, I don't know if you're aware of it, is it works through the caliper. The caliper has the ordinary piston so that pushes on the shoes when you step on the when you step on the foot pedal.
Pushes on the disc.
Pushes on the disc, rather, and squeezes the pads against the disc. However, when you engage the parking brake, when you pull on the lever, what you do is you pull a cable... And you tighten a cable, which pulls on a lever, which moves that very same piston against the brake pads so that they squeeze against the disc. And it's possible that even though your parking brake, you say, doesn't work and you don't use it, that it, in fact, that caliper or one of those calipers is stuck. And it's stuck just enough so that when you first take off, you're getting that, you're hearing that noise of the pad releasing itself, or the disc, rather, releasing itself from the pad, so you get that whoo. I mean, that woo, 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 woo noise is a classic sound of a stuck caliper. And it's almost always heard when the vehicle is moving extremely slowly, because it's at that speed that you can make the disc vibrate at a frequency that's audible.
Now, should they be costing $500
Installed.
That's the only way they're going to be any good to me.
Maybe even... Maybe more than that. They're very expensive because they're so complex.
Is this a stick shift Integra?
Yeah.
You don't need the handbrake.
Oh, I would. All the more reason that you do need the handbrake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you put it in gear, and one of these days it's not going to hold in gear. What gear are you putting it in?
Reverse, usually.
That's good.
That'd be good.
That would be good.
But when the clutch starts to slip or the compression drops down and you can't hold it on a hill, you're going to have to carry those chocks around and chalk the wheels and all that. But that's, you've got to fix it. Bill, you've got to fix it, man.
I'll fix it.
And these are rebuilt calipers they're going to put on for that price, by the way. I hope you're not hoping to get new ones.
Oh, I don't know what I hope. I was hoping to get none, but if I need to get none, that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
In the meantime...
None would be good, but rebuilt ones are second best.
If you need some of those chalks of blocks of wood to hold the car just in case, you should have them in the trunk. And if you don't know where to get them, next time you see a fire... Frequently, you'll see fire trucks have them under the wheel. Just take one of those, because they don't need them.
Right, we'll take them when they're ready to leave.
Thank you.
Right.
Well, I appreciate the advice very much.
Yes, and
good
and
luck, Bill.
Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Bill. National Public Radio and Car Talk apologize for that indiscretion as well. And
to
Andre
all the fire truck
Andre Kordrescu apologizes.
That's right.
Well, you've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion. Pumpkin lips.
Certainly
bourbon.
Not.
Our associate producer and dean of the College of Automusicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer and assistant producer is Jennifer. See you in 3 or 4 weeks, Loeb. And our technical advisor, boning up for the 1996 Pro-Am Free Lunch Tour, is John Bugsy Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Free Lunch, Twinkle Toes, Hula Hips, Donut Breath, Gigabyte. Make that 2 triple cheeseburgers. Lawler.
Almost made it.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Navera. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our literary critics are Ernest and Julio Hemingway. The manager of our employee refrigerator is Carmen Dating. Our director of congressional funding is Fred Knott. Our director of automotive security is Boris Karlam. Our director of gender studies is Amanda B. Reckoned With. Our director of country music is Stan Byerman, and our child seat tester is Julie Weiner. Our fleet manager is Oscar De La Rental. Our director of nutritional supplements is Rose Hips. Our director of Cadillac steering, of course, is Toulouse the Track. Our staff marriage counselor is Marion Haste. Our wardrobe is by Natalie Attired. And, of course, last and least, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known around the office as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Thanks for listening, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. We hope. Bye-bye. Now, if you want a copy of this week's show, which is number one, our first show
number one
in 1996, you can call 303 303- 515-595-5905.
Very well done.
If you want a transcript of this week's show, the number is, get ready for this, 303-595-5905.
Hmm.
Order show number one, and when you get it, write it all down. By the way, the Best of Car Talk on CD and cassette is also available to that same number.
Which is?
303-595-5905.
Great.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
Celebrating 25 years of radio excellence.
Not 25. What about the 8 years that we've been on?
Celebrating 17 years of radio excellence and 8 years of one libel suit after another. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, BetterHelp. It's easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself too thin. Therapy can provide the tools and self-awareness to help you learn how to recharge, define your boundaries, and build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp Online Therapy. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month. This message comes from NPR sponsor Chevron. Methane management is a critical part of achieving a lower carbon future. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. They're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices, and they've trialed over 13 advanced detection technologies, including drones and satellites. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we have very important people on our show and then ask them about very unimportant things. Here's U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
We are also reliably informed that among your enthusiasms, in addition to macroeconomic policy, is mobile games.
There's some truth in that.
There's some truth in that.
Join us for the NPR podcast that considers all the other things. That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.